Hello, my name is Hunter, and this is our 4th, 5th, and 6th grade group from Marlow Elementary in Bloomington, Indiana. In this podcast, we will be talking about dugongs, a relative to the manatee. We will share out research that we found as well as an interview we completed with an expert on dugongs. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hi, my name's Logan.
I'm Gage.
And I'm Josh. And we want to tell you about the physical features of the dugong.
They have tiny eyes and big mouth and 24 teeth. We learned in our interview that their jaws face down so that they can eat seagrass on the bottom of the ocean floor.
Most dugongs are a dark gray color or pale.
Dugongs are about 8 to 10 feet long and can weigh up to 510 to 1,100 pounds.
One thing we also learned about were their personality. These mammals are shy.
Dugongs are more intelligent than cows, but not smarter than dogs.
They also harass animals they don't like, such as sharks and turtles.
We thought their intelligence level was surprising.
This past month, we learned about the dugong and where it lives. They live in coastal, warm, shallow waters. They are found near Australia, the Red Sea, and East Africa waters.
Dugongs survive on seagrass only. If they didn't have seagrass, they would perish. This is why seagrass conservation is important. Seagrass also feeds other animals and helps the earth. So respect and save the seagrass.
They like to stay in the shallow water well. The seagrass is, but dugongs will travel to deeper water if there is food there. They are able to hold their breath for 5 to 6 minutes.
We think their habitat sounds great.
Hi, we are Sierra, Alexis, and Cameron. We are going to be talking about food and predators.
We learned about dugongs, what they eat. Dugongs are herbivores, which means plant eaters, just like a cow.
Some predators are large sharks, saltwater crocodiles, killer whales, and humans. Humans are predators because they hunt dugongs for their meat. Some people think that their tears are magical.
I hope you are learning a lot about dugongs.
Dugongs are mammals, and they give live birth. The mother dugong raises their baby, and they stay with their mom until about 18 months old. Baby dugongs look like their parents, but just as smaller. We think they are pretty cute.
Hi, this is Oren, Brody, and Aria. We are going to tell you some interesting dugong facts. Did you know dugongs live up to 70 years?
Did you know that dugongs wiggle their noses after every meal?
Did you know dugongs' lips are so strong they can push off their food into their mouths? Thanks for listening to our interesting facts.
We like dugongs!
We interviewed Mr. Duthler, the communication manager for the Dugong and Seagrass Conservation Project. We wanted to share his knowledge with our listeners.
Here, Mr. Duthler is explaining the importance of seagrass for the dugongs and other ocean life. Take a listen.
Seagrass is really important, and in fact, it's the only plant that dugongs eat. They can't survive on anything else. They don't eat seaweed, they don't eat fish, they only eat seagrass. And in fact, there are over 30-some different species of seagrass, and dugongs only eat two of those. So they're really, really picky about what seagrass they eat. Now, seagrass is interesting because it's a flowering plant, a lot like the flowers you see in the garden at your house or in the yard at your house. It has a flower. It needs to be pollinated. They have roots, so they plant themselves into the sea bottom, and it's a plant. It's a flower. Whereas seaweed, it's not any of those things. It never flowers, it doesn't germinate, it doesn't have roots, and it's much different. And seagrass is extremely important for it, and a lot of people have said that seagrass is as important or more important than even the rainforests, because it's able to process carbon dioxide and to reduce all of the chemicals that can cause global warming, and to do it on a scale that's as big as the rainforests or the Amazon. It's really, really important. And it's the only food that dugongs eat. So that's another reason why it's important. Oh. So good question. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Cameron, and my question is, why is it so important to save seagrass?
Why is it so important to save seagrass? I think I've answered that question. You know, in one way, it's the only food that dugongs eat. So without seagrass, forget it. You're not going to have any dugongs because they'll starve to death. They don't know how to eat anything else. The second reason that seagrass is really important is that it's an ecosystem. It's a place where fish, the fish can lay eggs there, and then the small fish will hatch from those eggs, and then they use it as a habitat, and it's considered a nursery, for example, for fish. So a lot of the fish that you find in the sea actually started out their life in a seagrass meadow. It's also important because it helps balance all of the different nutrients and different chemicals. And they found, for example, that coral reef thrives when it's situated next to a seagrass patch. And they think the reason that that is the case is because seagrass actually filters all of the bad chemicals and nutrients out of the water that allows then a coral reef to be more healthy. So there's that function as well. There's this whole idea that it captures carbon and can help reduce the effects of global warming. And it's a fish nursery. There's all kinds of reasons. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How deep can dugongs swim?
That's another good question. We were talking about that today in the office. See, dugongs, they can swim pretty deep. But the only reason that they would swim so deep is if there's food down there. So they think that it can go up to 39 meters. So if you think about that in feet, 3 times about 100 feet, maybe a little bit more. But the only reason that they would go down there, we think, is because they're hungry. And that's where the seagrass is. But most of the time, you can find dugong in pretty shallow water, like up about 6 meters or 20 feet. Seagrass can only exist above 100 feet deep, so between 100 feet deep and just really, really shallow water, because it needs sunlight. It goes through photosynthesis, and without sunlight, seagrass can't grow. So a dugong will swim as deep as there is seagrass, but most of the time, they can hold their breath for about 6 to 10 minutes, and any more than that, they have to come up and get more air. So they're restricted by food, they're restricted by the amount of time that they can hold their breath. Like a whale, for example, they can dive so deep because there's food down there, but also because they can hold their breath a lot longer. Dugongs can't do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and my question is, why are sharks predators of the dugong?
Right. You know, there are lots of predators for dugongs, and I suppose people are one. Here in the Arabian Gulf, which is amazing because it's quite hot here in the summertime, we have killer whales that come into the Arabian Gulf. And they swim in here, they go eat a bunch of dugongs, and then they leave. Sharks also go for them. But also, you know, you have to remember that a dugong, they're quite good at harassing others. Like I said earlier in our conversation, they can harass turtles, they can harass sharks. They try to defend their young. But for the most part, they don't have too many natural predators except for species like shark and like killer whales and then, of course, humans. They're big and docile and friendly. And, yeah, you're right. Sharks go after them. And I guess it's because, yeah, again, they probably taste pretty good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is Ariana, and do you work with other animals?
What's that?
Do you work with any animal?
Animals? Okay. Do you work with other animals?
Yep, we do. The project that you picked up on, our dugong and seagrass conservation project, that's one of our projects, right? And we have a website out there, and we work specifically with dugongs and seagrass. Now, one of the other things you have to remember is that there are lots of other animals that depend on seagrass. For example, sea turtles. There are some sea turtles that only eat vegetables that are under the water. So like seagrass, for example, such as a green turtle. A green turtle, which is one of the seven big sea turtles, also uses the same habitat as a dugong. You also have the fact that a lot of the fish use the seagrass habitat for a nursery ground. So when we protect the dugong, we protect the whole habitat that the dugong lives in. And that includes, it's just, you know, the dugongs, the reason that we focus on dugongs is that, yeah, they're quite cute, and they're quite interesting to people, and almost huggable like a panda bear. So if you can get people interested in a dugong, you can also then convince them that the place where dugongs live is worth protecting. So by protecting the dugong, you protect a whole ecosystem that includes seagrass, includes sea turtles, includes fish. And I suppose it also includes coral reef and lots of other things. Now, I'll go off in a little bit of a tangent. We have that as one project, but we also support, the Mohammed bin Zayed Species Conservation Fund has supported more than 1,800 different projects around the world. We've worked with more than 1,000 different species. You know, everywhere from fish to birds, reptiles, amphibians, plants, even mushrooms. I'm trying to think if we've had any in Indiana. I don't think we've had any projects in Indiana, but we're interested in some turtles that live in, like turtles in freshwater that live in Indiana and Michigan. We've also given some grants to manatee projects in South America. We're really interested in iguanas that live in the Caribbean, so we've given a lot of money to them. Some snakes in the United States. So, yeah, lots of other animals. But specifically for dugongs, really were interested in the whole ecosystem that they live in, which is seagrass, and that supports a lot of other species.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Arya, and here is my question. What is the policy of protecting a dugong? And also, I have another question. What can we do in the United States to help you save them?
Okay, that's a tough question. So, one of them was, what can you do in the United States to help save dugongs? So, what was the other question?
What is the policy of protecting a dugong?
Oh, okay. I'll answer that one about policy. There are a lot of different policies around the world. Each country has different policies to protect them, different regulations and restrictions. One of the problems in countries where the dugong lives is that there aren't a lot of enforcement entities. Like in Indiana, for example, maybe you have the Department of Natural Resources, and they have officers that patrol the lakes and the streams, and they make sure that people don't hunt when it's not the season, and it's really well controlled. But in other countries where they don't have a lot of money, they don't have a lot of enforcement. So the policies that they have in Sri Lanka are pretty weak. So what you find is that when people are really hungry and desperate and they're quite poor and they rely on food that comes from the ocean, they'll do anything that they can to make money, and it's quite understandable. So one of the problems around the world is instead of using a fishing net, they'll take dynamite and they'll throw it in the sea, they'll blow up the stick of dynamite and then collect all the fish that come to the surface. It's easy. Dynamite is cheap, and it kills everything around and all the fish, and they just go and they, well, every once in a while there's a dugong there, and the dugong ends up dying too. So there are policies in these countries, like there are enforcement officers, and they don't, they try to protect the dugongs that way, but they just, there aren't many resources to patrol these areas. So one of the things that we do is we try to work with communities and we try to work with governments so that we actually convince the communities that they don't need to kill the dugong. So we give them other kinds of means to make money. So we give them what are called economic incentives. We distribute sewing machines to certain communities. We try to work with them to start businesses. We do ecotourism kinds of things. And hopefully, when the communities are interested in saving the dugongs, then you don't need any kind of DNR or enforcement agencies to go out and do that kind of thing. And then what you can do in the United States, I think, you know, in general, you need to appreciate what's in Indiana. And it's not maybe specifically for dugongs, but there's lots of really interesting creatures in Indiana that are worth learning about. You know, and there are freshwater turtles in Indiana that don't exist anywhere else in the world. And because of all of the chemicals that are poured on your farms and so on, you know, there are ways that you can protect those turtles. And I think just by respecting the environment that's around your school and around your house, that you're going a really long way to also protecting other wildlife, even dugongs that live on the other side of the world. And I, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is that in the United States, you have a really close cousin of the dugong called the manatee. And there are some really great efforts going on in Florida and different parts of the Gulf of Mexico where manatees are being protected by making sure that boats go really slow through the different channels where manatees exist, and to make sure that the water is fresh enough, because a manatee will migrate up into fresh water every once in a while. So, yeah, be environmentally conscious, appreciate the nature that's around you, do things like this, like create your podcast and distribute it, learn more, be knowledgeable. There's so much that you can do to sort of respect the place where we live. And at the Mohammed bin Zayed Species Conservation Fund, we really believe that other creatures have as much right to exist as we do, for example, within reason. We understand that there are some times that, you know, you got to use earth to grow crops and so on. But, yeah, every creature has a right to exist, and you have to respect that. So that's what you can do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, I'm Alexis. Thank you, Mr. Juicer, for doing this with us. I hope you have a great day.
All right. So that's all of our tough questions. So thank you so much. If you
We wanted to cite and thank our references. Our references are NationalGeographic.com, WorldWildlife.org, IUCN redlist.org, and of course Mr. Duthler and the Dugong and Seagrass Conservation Project team at dugongconservation.org.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and I hope you learned all kinds of fun stuff about the dugong. If you want to learn more facts, you can go to dugongconservation.org. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day.